Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. It's tough to get into the job market. Tougher now than it has been in a long time. Here's one way. Buy your way in. Placement services now offer guaranteed internships, mostly unpaid, for fees in the thousands of dollars. And those internships may be one of the best ways to get on a career ladder. But what if you can't afford the fee? What if you can't afford to work for nothing, period? This hour, On Point, paying to work for free and what it means for the country. You can join the conversation. Okay, we know influence and connections have always helped with internships. Is it different when the first rung on the American ladder is straight up for sale? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining us first today from New York is Gary Shee. He's the author of the recent New York Times article headlined, Unpaid Work, But They Pay for the Privilege. He is an intern at the Times, a paid intern, after taking his undergraduate degree. Gary Shee, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you're describing what you describe as unpaid internships that you pay for. How does it work, Gary?
Well, what happens is the focus of my story was this company called the University of Dreams that's had a great success in recent years. And basically how it works is that the student, usually their parents, will pay anywhere between roughly $6,000 up to $9,000, depending on the location of the program, for essentially an internship, so a guaranteed placement and internship, five meals a week, housing in the location, as well as a couple seminars and other, I guess, trips around the city.
So it's room board, and most importantly, the job, the internship itself, maybe an 8-week internship for $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000.
That's right.
And I'm reading here, University of Kansas Career Center Director Dave Gaston saying it's kind of crazy, but it seems to be going like gangbusters. Jerry, what's driving it?
Well, I think, this company is one that has been growing at 30% a year for the past couple of years. They told me that this past year in particular, they've seen a really significant bump. They said it's because of how tight the job market is these days, especially if you're trying to get into one of these fields, traditionally hard to get into fields like publishing or, fashion. In New York, for example, it's without these kind of connections, it's really kind of impossible. And but now, suddenly, just whenever there's been demand, I guess there's always been business opportunities. And this company has kind of come into this space to meet that demand, and they're thriving.
So you plunk down the money, whatever it may be, $8,000, and they guarantee they will deliver an internship. You tell the story here of Andrew Topol. His parents paid $8,000 to the service. He's a junior, or was, at the University of Tampa,
right,
to get a summer job as an assistant at Ford Models, that modeling agency in New York. Nice way to spend 8 weeks, but $8,000 from the parents, and he got it.
That's right. And I think some of the concerns, arise because for some of these placements, they're at very not exclusive, but kind of very hard to get jobs at very prestigious companies in the city. And even with Andrew's case, his parents told me that by the time that he had applied to Ford, mm-hmm, they told him that all of their intern slots were closed. But I guess, and so I asked the University of Dreams and also Ford, how was it that they were able to, even after this window had closed, how they were able to place Andrew. And I couldn't really get much of an answer just beyond the fact that somebody from the University of Dreams had worked at Ford years ago and had established a relationship there. And that just that first foot in the door was all that was needed.
One way or another, money talked here, and it worked for Andrew. I mean, he had the work internship. He's invited to come back for another summer, invited to interview for a job after graduation. I mean, these days, those are all very difficult steps to get your foot on that first rung of the ladder. But you're an intern yourself, Jerry. What do you think about people or their parents having to pay for that? You quoted a mom here who paid for her daughter to get an internship, saying, you know, we wanted the biggest and the best. What about paying for it?
I have to say, you know, a lot of my peers, you know, who are all struggling right now in this job market have you know, expressed some discomfort when reading stories like this. I certainly know that my family, you know, probably, actually, for sure, you know, would not have been able to afford this program. But you know, kind of taking a step back and looking at it, mm-hmm. it's a truth in life. You know, the separation between the haves and the have-nots. I think it's always been there. In some ways, college itself, you know, you go to these top schools,
yep.
To make the connections at these, you know, schools. Now, simply, this is just a service that lets you buy the connections. But the system, the mechanism of networking, has always existed. And of course, there's always been people who cannot pay for some of these elite colleges. That's also existed. So I think, you know, it's a bit direct. It's a bit blunt. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. a bit, you know, out there. But the fact is, I think the underlying forces at work have always been there.
And now, cash on the barrelhead, and your foot's on the ladder. Gary Shea, paid summer intern at the New York Times. He wrote the article "Unpaid Work, But They Pay for the Privilege." Jerry, thank you very much for being with us this
evening. Yeah, thank you very much, Tom.
With us now from Washington, Virginia, is Sarah Lipka. Until this spring, she was a staff reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She covered internships and career services and more. She now works on a farm and blogs on farming and food for The Atlantic, but still tracks the internship game. Sarah Lipka, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
My pleasure, Tom.
What's driving this? People prepared to pay $8,000, $9,000, you know, to get Bobby or Jane an 8-week internship.
I think internships have become a craze. There's this perception that they're a near necessity to find an entry-level job, and there's also a lot of cultural connotation to an internship as this rite of passage of this is something that you have to do to start off your career. And with things being tight, there's a great opportunity for a company like this or companies like the University of Dreams to step in and offer internships to people who are clamoring for them.
Now, influence and connections and mom or dad, no, X, Y, or Z person, I suppose that's always been at work here. But has it really always been this way that you kind of, I mean, here you're having to pay for the privilege and for the privilege of unpaid work. Do you see a shift here, Sarah?
I think that there has been a growth in unpaid internships. I think particularly in this kind of economy, there may be companies that previously paid interns but have decided not to do so as a budget cut. But I think that as there have been more young people showing themselves to be so willing to take unpaid work, a company can say, well, if we'll have this kind of demand for free labor, then why don't we take advantage?
And what gives these companies a leg up? I mean, why do they have a pipeline to the internships? Are they privileged over, you know, just some go-getter from who knows where who sends a letter and a resume and a sample of work and wants to come and work this summer? Are the paid applicants, you know, paid sort of packaged applicants advantaged over them?
I think the University of Dreams, in addition to helping students find internships, gives them a lot of help with their resumes and their networking skills, their interviews. In some cases, it seemed that the company was helping students set up interviews with prospective, I'd call them employers, but the interns aren't really employed, but with companies that are going to accept them as interns. And so in that case, there might be someone who is approaching a company through a program like the University of Dreams who has a neater package that's been polished by the agents who work with the students who apply to this program.
Opportunity for all, sort of an American idea, but if you can't afford to work for nothing, and if you can't afford to work for nothing and pay thousands of dollars to work for nothing, doesn't this leave a person kind of on the outside looking in?
Well, it does. The University of Dreams also does provide some scholarships for students. And the leaders of the company indicated to me that as they grew, they were hoping to make more scholarships available. There are also a number of universities that provide subsidies to students who are interested in taking unpaid internships. And those subsidies can help out students who maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to do it, but they also enable a system whereby employers can keep giving the unpaid internships.
I mean, do you feel good about it, Sarah, when you see what's developing here? It can almost look like, you know, you've got to have a mom and dad who can pay to have your ticket punched to get on the ladder in the first place. I mean, what we saw earlier this year, only 19% of 09 graduates who had applied for jobs had them as of graduation time. This is not a joke. It's hard to get on.
It's hard to get on, and I think the fact that there are so many unpaid internships out there, and now in that market, there are also these companies that will help people find unpaid internships. Like you said, it's one thing to take an unpaid internship and work for the summer and be out that money. You're out even more money if you've paid to take the unpaid internship. But there are a lot of students who are in the position of not needing to break even over the summer, but needing to make money to cover their costs for the following semester.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the proliferation of unpaid internships is a really troubling trend. I talked with some students who had started a group called 80 Million Strong for Young American Jobs.
Hmm.
They're setting themselves up to be sort of an interest and advocacy group like AARP for the millennial generation. And
Sarah, hold the thought. We've got to take a short break here. We're talking about who gets on the job ladder in America. Interns, did mom and dad buy your summer job? How many thousands did they pay? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Them that got us, them that gets, is something I can't see. You gotta get something before you can get something. How you get the first is still a mystery to me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about who gets on the job ladder in America and paying big money for unpaid internships. We've been joined by Sarah Lipka. She covered this in depth for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Joins us today from Washington, Virginia. We've got a couple more guests with us right now. First, from Washington, Lawrence Mischel is with us. He's president of the Economic Policy Institute. It's a left-leaning economic think tank, principal author of the EPI's State of Working America analysis of the U.S. labor market. Comes out every couple of years. Lawrence Mischel, thank you very much for being here.
Great to be with you, Tom.
And with us from Washington is Lev Bayer. He's president and CEO of the Washington Internship Program, which places undergrads and grads in Washington, D.C. internships. Cost of the program, about $3,300 plus a $100 application fee. Lev Bayer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Lev, it's your business. Influence has been there for a long time in internships. On the other hand, an awful lot of kids have rustled them up without influence and without paying over the years, but this looks like paying is becoming the name of the game. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? You're in the middle of it. I suppose you're going to defend it. How do you do it?
Well, I'm going to disagree with a couple of things. I don't think you have to pay for an internship. I think you can get an internship on your own. I think you have to pay to get the right internship. Unfortunately, nowadays, and internships have always been misused in many, many different circumstances, but our students are not Xerox machines. Our students are not copiers. And one of our things is making sure that they're doing the right internship and the right kind of placement.
Well, I'm not sure what the difference is. Anybody would try to get the right internship for their career dreams, but what about the idea of paying to get it in the first place? I couldn't have done that. I had to make money in the summers. This is not only unpaid, but you got to pay on top of that.
I totally agree with you in a lot of ways. It's a very difficult process. I know when I joined the Washington Internship Program as a student that I had to work part-time in housing and urban development with Secretary Cuomo to get paid and then part-time at the White House. So it is not something that is easy to do. And if you're asking me, is it a level playing field, even as the owner of the Washington Internship Program, I'll have to say no.
Lawrence Mischel, what do you make of this? What does it say about our economy? It's all, them that's got get is not a new phrase. This is not the first time that influence or position, opened a door to somebody in a company or in a career. But what about the idea that people are just straight up paying for unpaid internships?
Well, Tom, I think the whole thing is outrageous. I think the idea of even free internships is outrageous. Let me make a few points. One is that this is only compounding the existing inequalities that exist. We know from studies that the dumbest kids in high-income families are more likely to complete college than the smartest kids from lower-income families already. So this is just adding to networking and other factors that really try to channel the best jobs to those who already have. Secondly, much of this behavior is almost surely illegal. Who says that employers in the private sector, for-profit employers, do not have to pay at least the minimum wage? The only basis that you don't is if you are actually providing an internship which is mostly for the benefit of the student, that is training, that is closely supervised. Unfortunately, I think basically the enforcement of our basic labor standards are lacking at the state and federal levels, and that's the only way that they can get away with this, because this essentially undercuts labor standards, undercuts people's ability to make a living.
You're saying paying for the internship is not illegal, but having an unpaid job is.
Providing an unpaid – yeah, but what makes you think that a marketing firm, a fashion firm, should not have to pay at least the minimum wage for
– that is one of the most ridiculous things I think I've ever heard.
Why?
When you think about an internship, the entire goal is that in exchange for not being paid, you're given something that you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to do. So if you mean to tell me that at my first year having graduated college that I was going to work for Clinton on a $375 million advertisement campaign and not and get paid to make television ads across the United States that were anti-drug control policy, it's an absolutely ridiculous comment.
Sarah, step in here.
I have to really object. I don't think you know your basic law. And Sarah, in some of her reporting, has reflected this. We have a law that says in the private sector, for-profit firms have to pay the minimum wage. There are some exceptions to this, and some internships can do this. But I can tell you almost for sure that most of them probably cross the line.
Sarah?
I think that Lev is interpreting the benefit that an internship confers in a pretty broad way that a lot of employers are also interpreting it. But my impression
You're lucky to be here. It's a foot on the ladder. That's worth something. Be happy.
Right. You're not being paid for this work, but you can put it on your resume, and it will give you an advantage later. And, you know, maybe with some employers, the internship will lead to a job or consideration for a job. But my impression on the legality of unpaid internships comes from a letter on file from the Department of Labor, which gives guidance to employers who are asking this very question, are these unpaid internships legal? And the letter lays out certain conditions that the internships have to meet to be legal under federal labor law. And as Lawrence was saying, one qualification is that they have to give training, that the internships have to give training that is similar to what a student could get at a vocational or educational institution. And they also must benefit the intern. And then there's this phrase, no immediate advantage to the employer. They can give no immediate advantage to the employer. And I just wonder what intern's work doesn't give an employer some immediate advantage.
But, you know, beyond all that, it still leaves a situation where if you can't afford to work for free, if you need to earn money, and a lot of American young people would, it's just not open. I mean, I'm looking here. Here's the story of Susan and Raymond Summer in Illinois. Their daughter Megan was at a Kentucky university, asked them to spend $8,000 for an unpaid sports marketing internship in New York. They didn't want to, but finally did. Off she goes. Or charity auctions, internships being auctioned off for up to $12,000. And that's just not available to a lot of folks. Catherine in Somerville, Massachusetts, calling in. You're on the air, Catherine. What do you think?
Hi. I'm a graduate student here in Boston, and my future work will be in education and nonprofit sector. And I'm 27 years old. I've never had a job that's intellectually challenging, so I'm in grad school in hopes of getting that. And it's only because my parents have been able to help me here and there that I'm able to get these field work internship opportunities, but it's incredibly necessary for anyone like me who wants to, you know, leave with an education degree, who wants to work somewhere in the nonprofit sector, and because, you know, we're a dime a dozen. And yes, it helps on resumes, but there are a lot of thoughtful, intelligent, globally minded people out there. So these are the kind of opportunities that are really, really necessary for, I think, a lot of young professionals. But you're absolutely right. They're only accessible to those of us who are very privileged.
And so what's the dynamic here? Does it work for you if you go out and, you know, make the sacrifice, pay what it takes to get these jobs? Does it ultimately work?
I'm hoping it will. I'm in my final year, and a lot of it is internship and field work experience. And more than that, it's the connections that I'll make sort of in a real-world setting versus an academic setting that I think will help me in the end. So even if it's just getting out there, learning the ropes of whatever industry you're in, I think it's incredibly necessary.
Of course, if you have to borrow money to do that, take out loans, it's kind of a catch-22. You're digging a hole as you try and step on the ladder.
I'm tens of thousands of dollars in debt, and my new catchphrase is loan schmoan. So that's all I have.
Right, and tell Catherine, thank you for calling. Lorelei in Providence, Rhode Island. You're on the air, Lorelei.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I am an animation filmmaker, and I'm also a professor at local college. And I both hire interns and the situation of assisting me on my films, as well as helping the students being able to find internships with local animation studios.
Okay.
And in each of these situations, my experience is that the schools require that a student either receive some minimal amount of pay or they receive college credit, that they will not accept or accommodate internships that will put a student in a situation where they are being explicitly taken advantage of.
Okay, so what do you think about the idea of paying thousands for a job that does not pay?
When I heard this coming up at the topic, I absolutely hit the roof. I am so upset that a situation like this would be generated. And when I hear the people talking about this, it sounds as if these particular internships are happening at the higher echelon sorts of professions.
Kind of fancy jobs.
So
huh?
in this instances with jobs on Wall Street or in different governmental positions, in that instance, for me, what it does is it says, again, what you've been saying to these people is that it creates this division of the haves and have-nots, and it embeds it further and further. Students right now are struggling financially to be able to attend school, period. In the schools where I'm teaching, students aren't returning. They're finding state colleges to go to instead because they can't afford school, period. For businesses to take advantage of them like this and to refuse them to get the credentials, the experience, to be able to put on the resumes, just it makes me so angry.
Mm.
Both as an individual, but also as a teacher who deals with these students every day.
We've got it. Lorelei, thanks for your call. Lawrence Michelle, is this really so different from old influence and connections? I mean, it's easy to get upset about it, and yet everybody knows that internships have often been, you know, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch mine among people in good positions in the corporate world and beyond.
Well, I think you're correct, Tom, that, you know, networking is something that does help to the haves to get more and keep their position and pass it on to their children. Of course, this just ramps it up even further if you have to pay for it. You know, even without the paying, you know, the whole idea of free internships usually discriminates against working class kids anyway, because the only kids who can accept a free internship.
Well, you say free, but that's confusing when people are paying for them. You mean unpaid.
Unpaid internship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I personally employ 45 people. We don't have interns that are not paid. The reason is if we were to take unpaid interns, the only students that can afford to do that are those who already are means and are not struggling to get through school. So, you know, you can't have a working class kid is not going to be able to take an unpaid internship in the summer or after school where they have to pay back their loans. So, you know, this just ratchets it up even further if you have to pay for the right to be unpaid.
Lev, what do you say? Is this just another form of an old dynamic with money attached? Is this better? Is it worse?
No, I totally disagree. I mean, we've been placing students from 101 different countries and 900 universities over 28 years. You're not just paying for an internship. If I'm talking about just paying for an internship, is that equality? No. But we have a course out of George Washington University, and these students are being taught the differences between the academic and the business world, whether it be our grammar classes and where we're pairing them with professional editors to ensure that their writing is of business quality, or just to recalculate and rethink the way and retrain them in the techniques of the business world. The last I checked, colleges weren't free, and the last I checked, I have not spoken at a college around the United States that taught business writing, let alone the skills that we need for networking, et cetera, to really get these internships. But finally, I will say that what he's talking about in terms of immediate gain and the legalities, that is one thing that we really focus on, which is making sure that these internships with the Washington Internship Program are top-notch internships, that our students are doing the things that they came there for.
Sarah, maybe there's not much difference between what it costs to go to a, you know, brand-name college these days and paying for an internship. I mean, parents are already investing a ton, many affluent parents, in their kids to advantage them in their career. Maybe this is just part of the same picture. Maybe it's, maybe it's contradictory to get ruffled about this when everybody lines up to pay those colleges.
Well, people line up to pay colleges. There are also a lot of innovative things being done right now in financial aid to make college a college education at private colleges as well. In particular, at private colleges right now, there's been a lot of effort to make it more accessible to students from a wide range of economic backgrounds. I think one of the main differences is there is some degree of public outrage over the cost of tuition and the cost of textbooks and student loan rates and even credit card marketing to students. But internships, these unpaid internships, get a pass, and they're setting young people back financially. The caller who mentioned her debt may have some of that related to tuition and textbooks and student loans, but also these unpaid internships. And people aren't getting upset about the unpaid internships the same way they are about the cost of tuition.
Let me get a call from Ted in Burlington, Vermont. Ted, you're on the air. What do you think?
Thanks. Yeah, I just find this outrageous, just like the last caller. It really strikes of something analogous to like K Street in D.C. and the lobbying. It's a pay-for-play kind of situation. And I want to be in the teaching field long-term, and I feel like this is just going to create more of a beholden atmosphere to the haves, and it's going to push away the have-nots, and we're going to create a system both in the internship field and in the education field where kids that are the haves are just, you know, this is just a step to the next step, and what we're going to find is it's going to be a positive feedback loop, and you know, things like Goldman Sachs and all that stuff, it's just going to keep happening over and over again because this is going to be groupthink, and these kids are just going to, I don't know, it's enraging, really.
Larry, Michelle, I mean, thank you, Ted, but the part of the, what, glory of the United States has always been we're taught and want to believe that, you know, opportunity for all and everything changes, but this does seem to lean more toward a kind of, I don't know, self-perpetuation of a certain advantage.
Well, the image of the United States is one of a lot of mobility. There's studies over the last 10 years have actually shown that we have less mobility upwards in the United States than many of the European countries. So it's not so true. But the opportunity to get a college degree is increasingly important, and obviously it's something that is a prerequisite for getting many good jobs. What's interesting about these unpaid internships to me is that we're also being told in other discussions that everyone has to go to college. And if you don't go to college, you won't be able to make a good living. But here we have people going to college, whether you're the elite or not, finding that even before you go to college during the summer or after you go to college, in order to get work, you have to offer yourself for free. If, in fact, employers were in such great need for college graduates that they had to compete for college graduates, they would not be asking for free interns. And so this is essentially runs totally against what we keep on hearing from the president, the secretary of education of this administration, the last administration, about everybody has to go to college because employers really need college graduates.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about who gets on the job ladder in America and paying big money for unpaid internships, $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 for an 8-week summer internship. Sarah Lipka's here. She covered this for the Chronicle of Higher Education, knows a lot about it, was on top of it for a long time. Lev Bayer is with us. He is president and CEO of the Washington Internship Program, which places undergrads and grads in Washington, D.C. Internships cost the program $3,300, and there's a lot to it, he points out. It's not just the job, there's training and a lot more. Lawrence Michel is with us. He's president of the Economic Policy Institute think tank in Washington. Let's get a caller from Washington. Tyler, you're on the air, Tyler.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a student here in D.C. trying to go to George Washington and in the internship race, but I'm actually scared to go out and look for one just because of what it means for the for my current job. I work from home, which is nice, with my old job back in Salt Lake City, and I'm kind of afraid to give that up because I've got a son. I think the current situation makes it difficult for people like me with a son and maybe kids to come out here and try to make it. I think it favors those who are single and remain single maybe up into their 30s.
Well, I mean, it's true. When you start a family, things often get more difficult in terms of mobility, and you've got more demands on you making a living. As a parent, Tyler, when you look forward to your son's future, do you plan for, let's say, okay, college, and then after college, we'll have to be ready to shell out, I don't know, $8,000 for an intern for Johnny or Jane? Tyler?
I think we'll try to get better connections through networking than through money, but I hope that's possible.
Oh, good luck to you. Let's get a call from Buffalo, New York. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, kudos to your staff. I come from a slightly different perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm a PhD nurse and been doing business for 33 years, the largest profession in the country. But we're not motivated for advancement in money, we're motivated for education. I'm trying to parcel out here what can be considered continued education and is eligible for federal loans or other types of grants. I've done several over the years. I've never been paid for,
mm-hmm.
but it gave me more education and more skills. I've done it for summers several times. And would it be considered continuing education or extra education available for loans? Now, in my day, parents were not expected to pay for college, were expected to pay for it.
A whole lot sure do now, and now more than that. Sarah, first to you. You reported for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Can you imagine this eventually coming under the umbrella of what's eligible for, you know, government loans? I got to pay for an internship as well, so spot me some eight grand for that, Sarah?
It raises an interesting question because there is that academic credit angle that one of the callers was talking about, too, that mm-hmm. some employers require academic credit to let an intern in the door. Now, I think the reason they require the academic credit a lot of times is because they want it to be instructional. They want it to have that legitimacy. But then also they think it's a safe harbor under federal labor law, that if there is academic credit being given for an internship, then it must be instructional in the way the Department of Labor specifies. But there, with some majors at some colleges requiring internships during the semester, you could actually apply your financial aid package to that semester, and if the internship is being done during a regular semester, there could be aid for it.
Though it's hard to see the federal government really embracing something where they're subsidizing, I don't know, Ford models in New York to have an intern that's not being paid, but they're making the loan. Lev, what about, Lev Bayer, the relative importance of college and internship now? I mean, what's more important when people are trying to get in the job market? Is it your grades, the place you've gone to college, or where you've managed to work in the summer or other times?
Look, with the Washington internship program, I've spoken around the country, and I can tell you, if you give me a student from Harvard University and a student from American University, and the student from Harvard University doesn't do any internships, and I get the student from American University at CNN and NBC, and they're trying to get hired in media, it's game, set, match, point. I think one of the things that we are not talking about...
You mean the internship is more valuable than the college brand or the college itself?
Absolutely.
Wow.
But I think we're not giving – well, think of it yourself. If you're hiring someone within radio and you've got someone who's been at NBC and ABC who went to American University in the School of Journalism
– but they know the ropes a little bit because they've been in there in those jobs.
They've worked in two mm-hmm. of the top news organizations yep. in the United States. And one of the things that we're not talking about is what does an internship offer? And an internship offers an insight on not only figuring out the kind of work you want to do, but what field you want to be in. So let's say someone went into media and they said, you know what, I'm not really enjoying this. I've always thought about law. And then they go and they intern in the public defender service. That's one essential aspect. The other is we do give academic credit. And the second is we're reading Irvin Goffman's presentation of Everyday Self and Stud Terkel's Working. And in answer to the question already asked, we already have colleges and universities that are paying for our program.
Meaning they pay you to place their students and the students that comes out of their tuition or something?
They pay our course and for our students, and it comes out of the university's money.
Lawrence, Michelle, you're our economist. I'm looking here. Here's a career advisor saying, you know, when you look at the value, and Lev Bayer points to it, it may be more valuable than your college degree itself of these internships. Maybe $8,000 is a bargain. Maybe it's, you know, cheap for launching a career.
Well, you know, we've had apprenticeships and other kinds of training programs in many occupations for a very long time, and they make a lot of sense. And it's understandable that people who are undergoing training earn less than those people who are journeymen in their fields. It hardly means to me that people should be working for free. But yeah, absolutely, especially in a short economy, which is short of jobs like we have now, you can understand why jobs get rationed by who can pay for them. It exacerbates existing inequalities. It's outrageous, like the callers say. This is not necessarily a, you know, listen, Lev Bayer's program is a quality program, mm-hmm. and I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that a lot of what's going on out there is similar to what he is providing to people. And when you provide, when you do an internship, not for a charitable organization or a government organization, I don't understand why, if you're doing something for the employer that benefits the employer as well as benefits you, why you can't at least earn $300 a week, which is the minimum wage.
Especially if you maybe if you've paid for it. Nina in especially Boston, you're on the air, Nina.
Hi.
Hi. What do you know?
Hi, I'm a student at Bryn Mawr, and actually this year I scrambled madly to find an internship over February break, well, actually, over winter break and in February, and I got incredibly lucky, and I did find one. But really, the big hurdle for me was the funding, and I'm really lucky because I go to an exorbitantly expensive private school that was able to help me out with that. I got a grant. But the thing is that I noticed that this is something that's really not accessible for most of my peers without that help, and of course, it's incredibly competitive to get those grants. And
so they gave you a grant to that allowed you to work at an unpaid internship and sort of covered your back.
Yeah, based on merit, though, based on my GPA, based on my proposal, and I just got really lucky, and I feel very grateful for that. But the fact is that it's very hard, not only for students on financial aid, but students who aren't, because a lot of people just really can't afford the $50,000 tuition, but consider college to be something that is worth that money, and they don't qualify for financial aid, but they cough up the money every year. And the fact is that for students like that, which is that comprises a lot of my peers, and of course there are the people on financial aid who also can't afford to, you know, forego that $2,000 that they might make this summer. But there are a lot of subsidies for students on financial aid that don't exist for students who aren't. And I noticed that that was a really big problem. I have a friend who wanted to take an internship abroad and wasn't sure if she would be able to do it because she's not on financial aid and couldn't get that help. So I think that this whole paying for unpaid internship unpaid internships creates disparities across all classes except for, you know, the very, very upper 1%. I'm solidly upper middle class, and I know that I couldn't ask my parents to pay $1,000. They'd laugh at me.
So you despite the scramble, and you got fortunate, and that's good, but did you ever consider paying for an internship? Nina, do you know people who have?
I wouldn't consider doing it. I would rather, in my opinion, and this might just be my own personal value system, but I want to go to law school, and I work incredibly hard for my GPA, and I want all of the advantages that every other high-achieving student wants, but I think that I would rather get in on my own personal merits and not ones that I've paid for.
Nina, thank you for calling. Thank you very much. Let's get one from Salem, New Hampshire. Bruce, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello, Bruce.
Boy, this is a great conversation. I really love the passion of the last speaker. I'm right on board with this. I'm a manager at a high-tech company here in New England. We employ a lot of people, and I'd like to take an oath, if you will, right now, that I will not accept a paid internship from anybody. As a matter of fact, I'll go further and say that
a paid internship. Now, exactly what do you mean? Define your a paid.
I will not accept an intern who has paid for that internship.
Why not?
Because I think it's wrong. I think to me, I see this as the first step into a class society. Let's not do it. And let's take people on their merit. Let's take people because of their potential. Let's not do it because they can buy their way in. It just runs counter to too many principles.
Yeah, I hear you, Lev Bayer. What do you say to that perspective? Bruce wants an oath.
Well, Bruce, what kind of company do you run again?
Bruce's company, he said he's got a high-tech company where he's a manager.
Okay, well, one of the things that we do is, first of all, we don't just accept anyone who pays. Let me get that off the bat. But let me also agree with our panel that what my company does is not necessarily what other companies do. If you were to ask me, should you pay $8,000 for an internship, my answer is absolutely no. But what we do is we are training the students, not just that, we're fitting them in the right places. The people who do our placement, their background is in psychology. And a lot of times students think that they're going to be able to fit in this one placement, and it's just not going to work with even the supervisors who we work with. We make his job easier by working with them day in and day out and knowing the kind of people he's looking for. So if he has the time and the ability to sit there and go through 1,000 applicants, that's great. But that's our job. And there's a lot more than just saying that this is a paid internship. I'm not a business person, I'm an educationalist. So if you're going to tell me that my students are paying solely for the purpose of getting exactly what they want, I would say you're wrong.
And yet you see how it strikes Bruce there as somehow out of tune with the kind of society he wants to have, the kind of economy he wants to live in.
Well, I understand what he's saying, and the one thing I would say to you is, listen, you know, my major complaint, which, you know, apparently there's some annoyance with internships, but, you know, when you, with money may come a lot of privileges, but with education, with hard work, you can make up all of that back. We do have a job bank. My students are not always the wealthiest. In fact, they normally come from smaller schools where they can't stand out from the other students that they're trying to get hired by. The internship right now is the catalyst behind getting through the back door and getting hired, because companies are not able to afford to get people through the front door. So should these students who can't afford to get hired, should they just sit around and do nothing? Absolutely not. They need to build up their credentials, they need to build up their resume, and they need to get in the front door if they can, and if they can't, there's always the back door.
There's the kind of telling it like it is view. Jay in Freetown, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Great show today. Great subject.
Thank you.
I was struck by the fact that this appears to me to be a growing trend in the country, an unfortunate trend where entrepreneurs seem to be just trying to find ways to get people to pay for what they used to get for free. I mean, I'm a musician. When I started in the 80s, I had an agent, and I would pay him 15% after I got paid for the gig. And now it seems many agencies want, not all, but many agencies want an upfront fee, or many venues and festivals require you to submit your press kit electronically through one of many online companies that charge you a fee. So you're paying just to get people to look at your package, whereas in the past you could just mail it to them. So it seems to be a trend.
Yeah, kind of a bigger shifting power dynamic here, Lawrence Michelle, between, you know, you want work, you, more and more you've got to lean forward and sort of sacrifice something on the front end to get it, Larry.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's, you know, listen, it's been harder over the last 30 years for most people of any education level to be able to get a good job that has benefits, et cetera. You know, I'm struck by sorry to keep on going back to this, but you know, it's true that internships are becoming the thing that kids intensely compete for and want, and think that it's going to be determine what career they have. And the point is that if the only kids who can even get those internships are ones who are willing to work for free, then only certain kinds of kids are going to be able to enter those kinds of programs and get internships, let alone, you know, the cream de la creme actually paying for it. So I think that the whole intensity of this internship culture is really a setback and is going to create many, many inequalities. Just doing having interns who work for free, let alone ones who have to pay to get an internship where they work for free.
Well, it is certainly has spread. I mean, you can't be too holier than thou here. I mean, I can't imagine paying for an internship. Never had an unpaid internship, but I found out in the process of doing the show, I've got them right under my own nose here. So it's becoming becoming a norm and a really interesting indicator of where our economy is going. Sarah, how do you see this unfolding? I mean, kids are young people, even graduates, are still lining up to do this, paid or unpaid.
I talked to a labor historian who said that they were collaborating in their own victimization. And the organization I mentioned, 80 Million Strong for Young American Jobs, wants to advocate for this young generation like AARP does for retired people, and one of their issues is this proliferation of unpaid internships that they're looking to investigate, particularly in federal agencies, because they're saying these unpaid internships are bad for democracy. There was a small movement in Europe a couple of years ago that gained a few rights for interns, particularly in France, and there just hasn't been that kind of consciousness here. But I think as there are more unpaid internships, people shouldn't line up to take them.
Larry, do you see some momentum growing for that kind of pushback here?
I don't know about that. I don't follow that as much as Sarah, but I would just note that we now have the unemployment rate for college grads is highest in the history that I can document. It's roughly 5%, and that's going to stay high for the next several years. So this is definitely an environment where I think this kind of behavior is going to thrive.
20 to 24-year-olds, 15.3% unemployment, as I read it here. Fascinating. I'm grateful to all of you. Sarah Lipka, along with the Chronicle of Higher Education, now with us today from Washington, Virginia. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Lev Bayer, President and CEO of the Washington Internship Program. Lev, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
And Lawrence Michel at the Economic Policy Institute. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Billie Holiday said it then and says it now. God bless the child. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.